Well, for the last time, let me say it. Welcome back to this class on revitalization. I am just so honored and privileged to have gone through this time with you. Thank you so much for this, and I do hope and pray that God is going to bless what you've learned. He is already at work in you through this class, and that He will continue to do so for a long time. So here we are, lecture 36. Let's jump into it. Let's get it done and just celebrate all the things that God has been doing in and through you during this class. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity we have had as brothers and sisters in Christ to gather together through the wonderful gift of technology to share your truth. God, we know that your heart is for the church. She is your bride. And it is with great love that you lead it. So, Lord, we ask in this final lecture that you would help us to be the very best we can be for you. And, Lord, thank you again for this wonderful call to love your church and to work alongside you in bringing it to the place it needs to be. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. Okay. So these last three lectures have been making the most of your leadership because as pastor or leader, whatever you are uniquely situated to influence the direction of the church, right? You have a unique opportunity to move people from where they're at to God's agenda, you know, which I think it's a great way of defining revitalization, moving people from where they are to where God wants them to be, onto His agenda. I think that that just sums up revitalization. And so you have a unique ability to do that where you are. God's put you there for that very special purpose. And so we've talked a little bit about how to make the most of it. And the first one we talked about was building the body, that your role is not to be the all-star who saves the church, right? Your role is to be the coach, the equipper. You're getting people out there doing, dancing, living for the Lord, right? That's your job, so that everybody is growing. You're all maturing. All the parts of the body are working together. That's your role. And you've got a unique position to be able to do that. And the second thing, what we talked about in our last lecture, was about expanding a leadership base and really keeping an eye on who are the people around you that you can develop very intentionally because you're in, again, you're in a position. Make the most of it. It's going to be time well spent as you equip and as you multiply. It's time well spent. You're make the most of the office that you sit in, okay? And I don't mean the physical space. I mean the place, the position that you're in. And so today, we're going to finish on one more on making the most of your leadership, which is making the most of meetings. Now, this doesn't necessarily sound like the most spiritual way to end this, but I promise this is a very, very practical and helpful thing for you to be thinking about. Because as a leader, you probably call meetings, right? Or you chair, you lead meetings. That's a unique spot that God has you in. Literally, like you're in a very unique, special chair to lead meetings. And so we're going to talk today about how to make the most of those wonderful opportunities called meetings. What a valuable tool it is when you can have all your people together around a table and to discuss, you know, what God is up to and how you can join Him. Now, there's nothing worse than a meeting where nothing gets done. I hate going to meetings where nothing gets done, whether I'm the leader or I'm sitting around the table and somebody else is leading. And, you know, meetings get a really bad reputation of like, well, meetings and committees, nothing ever gets done out of them because I think they're often done poorly. Yet I've seen meetings generate so much, you know, energy and direction and plans for the future and, you know, really energizing, you know, walking out of a meeting just ready to just kick down the door and go do what God would have us do next. So Meetings aren't inherently good or bad. They're just an opportunity that we really want to make the most of. Okay? And we've got to be really careful about how we do meetings, because time is very valuable and precious. And since that most of our meetings are attended by people who are volunteers, and they're coming on their free time, or often after a day of work, or on a weekend, or something like that, we need to make sure that their time is honored, that it's valued, we make the most of it, and that they feel like when they leave the meeting at the, you know, at the end, that it was worth their time, that they were glad that they were there, and they've got some real momentum going forward. Okay, so meetings, we need to talk about it and making the most of it. So I'm just going to bullet point a bunch of things that I think are important parts of making the most of a meeting, and so hang on, we're going to kind of move through this here. So how to lead effective meetings, let's talk about that. So first is agendas, and an agenda is really just the outline of the meeting and what the meeting's about and what you want to accomplish. And so never meet without a purpose. Okay, so you never meet just to meet. I've been part of meetings where it was, you know, we meet the first Monday of every month at 7 o'clock. Whether we need to or not, we meet the first Monday. And there's no clear purpose other than this is just when we always meet. Okay, and you're kind of, I don't even know what we're doing here. So every meeting, you don't ever want to go to meetings like that. I've been to too many. They're a waste, and you resent being there. And then the next time they call a meeting, you say, forget it. I have no interest in doing that. So you want to have really clear goals, and you should be able to state to your team or whoever you're meeting with, why are we here today or tonight? What is the purpose of it? And at the right at the beginning, this is what we're hoping to accomplish. When we walk out of here in an hour, this is what we would like to see, okay? And so that's what an agenda will help you do. And you're going to want to really kind of prioritize what you're talking about. So, you know, if you go to an agenda and there's 78 things on the list, like nobody prioritized. You know, what are the one, two, maybe at most three things that we need to talk about right now? So you want to be really clear. This is what we're talking about, and this is the end goal we're trying to get to, or we're trying to make a decision on this particular item. And I would say, you know, really be good about honoring time. So if you say the meeting is from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock at night, don't let the meeting go to 9:30. You know, respect people's times when they're there. And I would really just recommend keeping meetings like 60 minutes to 90 minutes at the max. We've probably all been to marathon meetings, and you know that once you get past a certain amount of time, the energy goes down. People are just tired of thinking. They've had a long day. They want to go home. They're supposed to be someplace else, but now they're kind of stuck here. And so now they're not contributing at all. They're just more irritated that they're still at this meeting that they should have been out of an hour ago. And so I would really limit meetings to 60 to 90 minutes. And so I try to keep it like very focused, clear, short, and like boom, boom, boom. We know what we're here for. We're going to do it, and then we're going to get out. With that being said, what I find to be really helpful in a practice that our church has adopted for the last number of years is most every meeting, we begin with a time of worship. And that could be I play guitar, so it could be me just playing something. It could be we'll watch a video, some worship music. Maybe it's something new, or we'll sing along to it if there's words on the screen or handouts. Sometimes it'll be like just a prayer time with some open space, just honoring and glorifying the Lord, you know, some scripture reading. But again, that has a more worshipful bent, or just going around and saying, let's lift up some names of the Lord in scripture and why it's important to us. And we'll go around, and it's just always so wonderful to be reminded why we're even at a meeting, what the church is all about. It's for Jesus. And that we're at the meeting, actually, then, I'll often say, is an act of worship. You know, we're giving, you know, it's not just singing songs as worship. It's everything we do for the Lord. And here we are tonight seeking out what we can do and trying to listen to the Lord and decide and come together as a body and push forward. And that's an act of worship. So, and it also, I think if people have bad days, it really recenters them. It focuses them. If there's any negativity that people are coming in with about the agenda, I think it really just takes the edge off of that, because it's like, yeah, you know what? This isn't about me. It's about the Lord. It's His church. He's honored and glorified in this. So I would just like, we'd just take 5-10 minutes, and it's always worth it. I've never done that and said, boy, we really wasted our time worshiping before we got started. Just practically speaking, starting with an easy item that everybody can agree on, that's not going to take a lot of time. You kind of want to build some more momentum. You know, don't start with like the most divisive, contentious issue or, you know, something like that. Just something easy that you guys can just, you know, talk about, and there's agreement and it's a good feeling. And then usually after that, then I would move on to like the bigger item. Like, okay, like here's really why we're here. And really trying to make that the bulk of our meeting is going to be talking about the big item, right? I don't want to have a 60-minute meeting and spend only 3 minutes talking about the really big item because I just spent 45 minutes talking about the smaller, inconsequential things, right? So I'm really kind of deliberate with like, okay, we really want to spend our time here, okay, and building an agenda kind of around that. And then usually then ending with a minor easy issue or just something that we can all celebrate together, you know, ending on just a good positive note on the way out. So that's kind of an overall flow of what a meeting looks like. And in terms of agendas, depending on your ministry and what means are available to you, we always send them out, you know, a week ahead of time or, you know, at least several days ahead of time so that when people come to the meeting, they know exactly why we're meeting, you know, and it's not just, well, what are we doing here? When everybody comes in the door, they know exactly why we're meeting. They know they've had a little time to think about it and they know where we're trying to get. Okay. So giving people a heads up is really important. Okay. And one last thing on meetings, having a meeting. Never have a meeting when it could have been like an email. You know, if you have that capacity, you know, you have distribution lists, and sometimes you just need to send out information, and it's like, or just, hey everybody, just so you know, this is what's up. You know, if you can do it in an email, don't have the people come in. You know, you just don't need to do it. So I always try to make people know that when I'm calling you in for a meeting, and we're going to spend some time face to face, It's something that can only really be done face to face. Okay, so let's talk about this. So sometimes when meetings, there's reports from different committees or different, you know, projects we have going on. Whenever there's reports, they're always given ahead of time. You know, they're printed out, emailed out, or copies are given and handed out to people. You know, like, again, a week, several days before the meeting. We don't spend our time just like, okay, Bill has a report for us, and then Bill's got a 3-page report, and we just sit there and we listen to Bill read the report, right? We can do that at home. And so, basically, when we get to different reports, it'll be like, okay, Bill has a report from the mission team, and Bill might highlight one thing that was in there, like, hey, I hope everybody saw this, because that's a really big thing. And then he'll say, does anybody have any questions? And then it's like, yeah, on page 2 you said this. You know, more often than not, people are like, nope, I read it at home. Great. Let's keep on moving. As long as that information got out and everybody knows about it, we don't need to talk about it, right? So if anybody does need to give something, and there's occasionally time where it's like, it just didn't, you know, something popped up last minute, or there's an addition to the report that was sent out. If a report needs to be given, or if there's a guest who wants to come and speak to the team for whatever reason, it's very brief. You know, it's very brief. The meetings are not the time to like catch up on all the things you missed. You need to do that kind of, you know, everybody do that kind of before to be prepared for the meeting. So that's just something, you know, I've been at a lot of meetings where somebody just reads the report and it's like, this just made the meeting 20 minutes longer and I could have done this, you know, last week when I had the time to do it. Okay. Another thing with good, effective meetings is really watching who speaks and how often they speak. It's typical in a group that someone or someones are going to want to dominate the conversation. And you probably had a name jump right into your head as I said that. You've been at a meeting and it's like the same person just always, it's like everyone is entitled to their opinion. And, you know, they'll talk for 10 minutes and then somebody else will talk for 30 seconds, and then they have to give their 9-minute rebuttal to what that 30-second thing was. You know, people should, you know, big personalities, and they have to be, you know, always just dominating the floor. And that really can destroy a meeting. As I'm sure you know, you've been part of meetings, whether you've led them or you've been one of the people around the table, and you just want that person to be quiet because it's like they're running the show, okay? So, just a couple things. So if somebody does speak, you know, we usually set some guidelines like, hey, you know, we want to talk about this, but if everybody could limit it to a couple of minutes, that's probably about enough to get your point across. And so if somebody's talking, you know, I don't like have a stopwatch, but if it goes to like 4 minutes, 5 minutes, I'll just say, you know, was there anything else you needed to add? Because we were going to try to limit it and we want to make sure we hear from other people. And people will either cut it short or they'll say, no, that, you know, that was about it. You definitely want to do that. And then if they speak again, it's like, you know, you kind of had to cut them off. And then they're speaking again and going on. And, you know, don't be afraid to just say, you know, Bill, we already heard from you on that. And I think, you know, we've got a good idea of where you stand. And you can kind of say, you know, repeat from what I hear, Bill, you know, you're really against this because of 1, 2, and 3. Or Bill, you're really behind this because of these two reasons. So Bill feels like he's heard and say, so we don't really need to talk about, you know, anymore. We can move on. Let's hear from some other people. And I definitely if there's more quiet people, sometimes they just, you know, they need to, you've got to draw it out of them a little bit. The person who's, I have found this more often than not, the person who's the quietest often has like the best idea. And you've got people who talk a lot and it's going round and round and round and round and you can't get any resolution. And then finally you ask the most quiet person to say something in about 2 sentences, they hit the nail on the head and it's like, I wish you'd have, you know, we needed to get you in on this earlier. So just making sure it's more of a team feeling and it's not just heavily dominated that one or two people are just running the whole conversation. Again, so inviting people to speak who are not, and then people who speak too much saying, you know, we already heard from you. Let's move to somebody else so we all have a chance to express what we think the Lord would have for us in this. I always hold people accountable to speak for themselves. Someone said, well, I've heard, you know, that people are upset about the new worship style. Okay, well, I don't ask for names, but I will say, well, Bill, we're picking on Bill today. Say, well, Bill, you might have heard that, but what do you think? Because sometimes people will, you know, they'll dominate meetings and kind of, you know, talk about what other people think, but it's really them. Like, if we're going to talk about this, I don't want to speculate, you know. So, well, Bill, is that how you feel? Tell me what you think about this. And then he'll either say, well, I agree, and then I can address that. Or he goes, well, I disagree, and we can talk about that. But if we're just having conversations about hearsay, there's no way we can address it. There's no way I can, you know, try to resolve it, or things like that, okay? So speaking, it's always like keeping it fair and balanced, but also we're not having conversations on hearsay. It's what do you think, where are you at with this issue, okay? Another key thing with meetings is vote. You need to come to a decision on a big issue. What I have found really helpful is not ever voting on a bigger issue at the meeting it's first raised. So we're going to talk about hiring a new staff position. We've identified a need. Our children's ministry director has stepped down, and we need to replace that. That's a pretty big decision, you know, or if it's like budget or something like that, or we're going to do a remodel in our church. It's going to cost a lot of money, whatever it is, you know, give people time to hear it and then to process it, not to feel like it just got railroaded through. So if it's a big issue, even I'd say a moderate issue, it's like we'll bring it up. We vote on it next month. And if we can't wait for a month, I'll say, we're going to bring it up today, and then within next week, I'll call around or we'll do an email, and we'll take a vote then. Because we have to decide this within 10 days. We just found out about it. This is what we need to do. But those are really the exceptions. And I have found just letting people have a month to sit on something, by the time it comes back, there's almost like no, there's really very little, almost even conversation about it, because it got introduced a month ago, they've had a month to ask questions, to think about it, to process it, to work through any issues. If they needed to talk to somebody outside the team, they did. And then when they come, it's usually like, yeah, sounds good. You know, all the problems I had, I worked through. Rather than saying we're voting on this tonight and they still have like 8 unresolved questions about what you're doing and who's doing it and how's it going to get paid, and it's like it's much better to wait and get everybody on board than to just like get it done and, you know, slam it through. So I would really encourage you to just, if I need something, you know, a big vote, I need it done, I need a decision by October. Well, I'm going to probably introduce it in like August or, you know, something like that, or September at the latest, so people have time to process it and think about it, okay? And they'll appreciate it, because you don't want meetings where there's like a lot of anxiety, and artificial deadlines increase that anxiety, okay? So voting, very important. How you do that, you want everybody feeling good about it, building consensus. Deliverables. This is a really, really, really big one and really important, okay? So there needs to be some accountability. Let's say you're at a meeting and you've decided to do 3 things. You're going to do A, B, and C. Well, that's great. And a lot of times the meeting ends, we all agree on this, and we all walk out the door. And then we come back next month and nothing's happened. A, B, and C are still not done. Because there wasn't any, like, accountability attached to it. So what we do, which has been very helpful for us in becoming very effective, is that whenever we decide something, there's always, what are we doing? Okay. Who's in charge of making sure it gets done? And then, when are they getting it done by? So, Sally is going to interview 3 people for the children's ministry director position in the next month. And she will report back here next time on that, right? Or, we're going to, I don't know, you get the idea. I don't have to make up a bunch of examples. But you say, what's happening, who's responsible for it, and when are they getting it done by? So then everybody has a really clear idea. Okay, by the next meeting, I have to do this. Or by the next meeting, I'm not responsible for anything. Because if nobody's name is attached to something, it's never going to get done. You have to say, this is who's doing it, this is when it's going to get done by. So then as a leader, what I do, and what I would encourage you to do, a week before the next meeting, or whenever that deliverable is due by, I'll call Sally and say, Sally, how is it going? Have you been able to meet with any of the three candidates yet? Yes, I met with two of them, and I'm meeting with one on Thursday. Great. Or she'll be like, no, I haven't. I haven't met with any of them yet. Okay, are you going to be able to meet with them? No. Okay, well, that since that was going to be the focus of the next meeting, well, we're not going to have a meeting now because Sally didn't get to it. Or, and there's different reasons. Sally said, well, my mother's been in the hospital for the last 2 weeks and we've been running back and forth taking care of her. I totally get it. I totally understand. Life happens. Don't worry about it, Sally. Why don't we plan on you doing this for the next month? She says, great. Perfect. Or it's like, has something come up? No, I just haven't gotten around to it. And that's where you can then, if she just kind of dropped the ball, that's when you can do a little bit of the coaching on, leadership and, okay, well, let's talk about this and, why it matters and, very gently, very graciously. But because there's some accountability, I can, we're going to get more stuff done, but even if it doesn't get done, I can actually do some coaching, I can do some leading, I can do some developing. So kind of a win-win either way. But if we just say we're going to do A, B, and C, and then we don't agree on anything or who's doing it, we all come back and said, yeah, that was great, we all decided it. Nobody's done anything. Okay, well, we just wasted this meeting. And I've been at way too many meetings where things have been wasted. Okay, and so that's just a really big one. I'll also just throw out the idea of some meeting alternatives. If it's difficult for you to all meet in one place and just kind of working between meetings, our church has, we do a lot of collaborative work, a lot of work on teams. And so we do, our church has a big space on Google Drive with shared folders and documents, and people work together. So it's like they don't have to meet in person because they're working on a document together. Now, I don't know how technologically astute your people are or what technology you have available to you, but we try to use technology as much as we can. So I can work on it when it's convenient for me. My friend Sally can work on it when it's convenient with her. We don't have to, schedule time to meet together. And we can kind of collaborate and work on things. And that's been, it just cuts down on meetings. And honestly, it makes it a lot more effective for us. So we use as much kind of digital stuff as we can to cut down on meetings. And another way we do that is with conference calling. There's lots of free companies or companies that offer free conference calling. So if we just need to do like a quick 15-minute check-in, what's going on? It's like we don't all need to drive in and talk about this. We can just do a quick conference call and like, hey, Sally, how's it going? Hey, Bill, how's it going? And this is what I'm working on. And boom, boom, boom. Okay, yeah, sounds good. We didn't need to meet, but it was important that we updated each other. And then that's the end of it. So Bill can be driving in his car, calling in, and that saves him a meeting. And Sally's, at her lunch break, and so now she doesn't come in at night, and she's eating her sandwich at her desk, doing this. So we just look at a lot of just alternatives, so that when we do meet and when we are together, we get the most kind of bang for our buck. That we're not just doing reports, we're not doing something that could have been an email, we're not doing something that could have been just a phone in. That it's stuff that we really need to talk about in person. And so I found that we now have less meetings, but we get more done in less meetings. So I'll get more done in 4 meetings than I used to get done in 10 meetings doing it this way. And then finally, last little bullet note here is the communication post-meeting. You could have the greatest thing happen in a meeting, but if word doesn't get out about it, it's almost like it never happened. And so you really can't overdo it. Sharing with the congregation, sharing with, appropriate, whether it's you want to share with just all your leaders or the whole congregation or whatever, hey, this is what we're doing. This is what we're talking about. You can do newsletters. You can do emails. You can do it in bulletins. You can do it in person. Announcements in worship. Whatever it is. Communicating, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. Because everybody likes to be in the know. People don't want to be in the dark. And if you're doing really good things and good things are happening at your meetings, you want people to know about it. You want people to get jazzed about all the great things that are going on. And I can tell you can't do this enough. Because for every one time I've heard somebody say, oh, we've heard enough about this. You're beating a dead horse. For every one time I hear that, there's probably 500 times I hear, I never heard anything about it. Well, where did this come from? Nobody said anything to me. Even if we've publicized it like crazy, they still will swear they've never heard it. And so we've even done things like we'll have meetings and take like the big poster paper that we'll take notes on. We'll just like hang it in a common space for people to look at and be like, oh, what was this for? Oh, this was for this meeting. Kind of our notes are private and stuff. We just try to be transparent and let people see this is what we're doing, this is what we're working on. So when I work with youth leaders, it's like, hey, this was a great meeting. The parents need to know about this, and the kids need to know when what's going on and the things we're working on and the things we're deciding. But that's kind of an example of, again, if you want to have effective meetings, don't just be them effective when you're actually meeting. Have them be effective after the meeting and getting the word out, okay? So, that's it. Can you believe it? My goodness, we have finally made it to the end. Good for you. Congratulations. I do pray that, again, these all the talks, the readings you've done have been helpful, all the challenges for you to do, that as along the way that God has just stirred something in you at different times, and truly my every blessing on the work of revitalization you're doing. It is very hard. As I've shared in the past, there are times where I just feel like yes, and there's times where I feel like no. There's times where I teach these lectures and I feel so excited about, because I see what God is doing in my church and I want to just pass it on with you. And then there's been other times in these lectures where I almost feel like, who am I to even teach this? We're still struggling with this, or we've gone backwards. And I think that's the big thing for you to remember as you do revitalization. We've talked about this so much. It's a slow process. There's not just one kind of silver bullet. And you're going to go two steps forward and one step back, and one step forward and one step back, then two steps forward. And it's an up and down process. You need to be patient with your people. You need to be patient with yourself. And just keep at it. Keep working. Keep pushing into the things that God is leading you to. Keep moving yourself and your people onto God's agenda. Try to grow as a person of character that displays Christ, model it for others. And at the end of the day, just trust it with God. Just give it to the Lord. And your congregation or your ministry might double. It might go down in size. But if you're being faithful to the Lord at the end of the day, you can go to bed, put your head down, and know in confidence, God, I'm giving it to you. I love you. I'm serving you. And friends, let that be enough. Let that be enough, because your people might not, you might be the most wonderful leader, but they're just not going to accept it. Think of Moses, 40 years trying to get the people to go in the right direction, and he couldn't, So if you're discouraged in 6 months or a year from now, it's okay. It's okay. Just continue to develop who you are as a person and as a leader, keeping in mind all the things we've talked about, and is trusted to the Lord. And pray for Him to turn the hearts of those you lead so that they might share in your joy in Him. With that, let me pray for you one more time. Father, may your blessing be upon your people. May your blessing be upon your church particularly, Lord, the church that struggles, the church in decline, the church that is stagnant, and, Lord, the leaders who grieve over it. Lord, replace their grief with joy. Continue to speak to them with direction and wisdom and guidance far beyond this class. May their people be open to them. That is not just them that are leading, but it's you. Through the power of your Spirit, Lord, may your church grow until you come again to take us all into your glory. Amen.